Welcome to another episode of the Polytechnicast. I am Rob Stenzinger, and this is a place where I journal about the stuff I'm working on because I'm an artist and a maker. I create video games and illustrations and a variety of things. I'm a bit of a generalist, and this process of journaling to say, hey, what am I learning? What's been going on? And how do I just, practice making sense of it and sharing it so it's of value to me and potentially to others too. I was inspired so many years ago to start doing this from some folks that, just other artists doing their thing, especially through the Art and Story podcast. And what happens when, why did I get so into this idea of journaling? I've had friends for many years that will do, handwritten journaling or typing journaling and making a wiki or all kinds of stuff, right? And what happens is it's like you get your thoughts out of you and you notice the thoughts as you get them out of you. And that can be enough, right? So here we are. I've got a pile of things to catch up with because it's been a while since I've done a post. And I'm like, really got to get around to this and, figure out, get my newsletter unstuck and all this stuff, right? And I was like, how many people even listen to the Polytechnicast? And I don't have a specific answer, but I see in one of the tools I use where it's like, oh, yeah, for the RSS feed, you've had, over 13,000 downloads, right? No idea how that translates to people and individuals and whatever, right? Because software is quirky, tries to download and then retries and all that. And then how that gets saved on the server and noticed. And then how does that get summarized? All these steps can mess with the meaning, right? But it's something, right? And then there, so I saw that number and I thought, whoa. Okay, it's near the end of the year, and I want to get out there and say, I appreciate you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being curious and caring about journaling and how I might be contributing to that. And thank you. I'm honored, and I appreciate it. And I have a variety of topics I'm going to try to get to. Let's see if I can do it in less than 20 minutes. That'd be something. I could say 5, I could say 10, I could even say 3 now, because I have done, I've now broken my streak, right? But 200 consecutive days, and actually I think it's 200 and some change, like whatever, but 200 consecutive days of posting to TikTok. And what have I learned from it? What are the outcomes? I've connected with some folks that I haven't connected with before. That's pretty cool. And I think it's, some artists that are on a similar-ish page, which I always love and appreciate. And some other folks, onlookers and curious folks and whatnot. But it's like, has it landed me 1,000, 10,000, or even more folks tuning in regularly, theoretically through the, moniker of being a quote-unquote follower, which I think that term isn't the greatest. I think words matter, and I just don't like that, how that word gets thrown around. Because you're not following me, right? I don't turn around over my shoulder and see you there. You're not camping out nearby. You're not whatever. Whatever. Words matter. But here we are. We've got this term that is used by an industry overall that, whatever. Fine. Follower. I got a few more. But, it's not breaking records or anything. And I learned a lot about the practice of doing it. I learned that I can find a rapid, informal thing to inquire, show or tell, or both. And I can probably perform the whole thing and have it, what I post, be between 30 seconds and 3 minutes. And then, as a result, be very shareable being beyond TikTok, right? That's helpful because, you know, when you do your creative work, it's, you know, it's not this one-time transaction with the universe where you say, I made a thing and now it's immutable, perfect, and it's somehow violating some contract of originality to never revisit or touch or whatever and reshare. But, you know, I also have a setup with the Buffer app that I will curate, collect, reshare some of the things I publish through TikTok, using that as kind of like my creative gym, get the stuff out there. And that's been helpful. So, and it's super funny too, is that the contrast between platforms is interesting. It's something that I could, you know, instantly simply define, like, oh, here's the finer points of what works on TikTok versus YouTube, Shorts versus Instagram or Blue Sky, etc. I can say that the Blue Sky constraint of 100 meg is a pain because, you know, that it means it's another step. All that does it creates a constraint that I notice and have adapted to, and then over time, my approach to that, if you're curious about a tip or trick, is that post to the places that will allow the repost and allow it to work well. And then Blue Sky, I can essentially share a post that went to another network, right? Because it's beyond the 100 meg. And often what that means is I'll share my YouTube short to Blue Sky later on, right? So it's kind of a follow-up thing. And, you know, the app of Buffer lets you do that stuff pretty good. And if you're not familiar, there's a whole bunch of competitors in the space of, you know, like, hell, you're a social media manager, or if you deal with a lot of stuff, you know, different channels to post and publish and manage. It's a pretty good app that is friendly to smaller businesses, right? It's not free for a lot of capability, but it has an okay amount of capability for the free level, and then reasonable price for going beyond that. Anyway, what else? I have learned that emotional, like the big feels of like making something clear and putting it into the world that I care a ton about, that tends to perform more than sort of just, I don't know, showing up and random doing stuff. But what's funny is that stuff performs sometimes too. So I think the important thing is showing up, making it work for you. Well, for me, I need to make it sustainable. And I found a way, because in the first few days I thought, oh, wow, doing a few hours of this work every single day, that isn't going to fly, right? How do I make this, you know, quicker and whatnot? And some of that is about practice, learning the tools, learning the process, in confidence and voice, and realizing that it's an ongoing experiment, that when you do a post, you don't have a prescription or command or demand in exactly what it's going to happen, what's going to happen, but you do get to make it and then find out what happens. And that's pretty great. And I love the advice of folks that will say, well, you know, if your post didn't perform that well, it's not like you really bombed in front of many people anyway. Hey, no big deal. And fair enough, right? And I also learned that when you start doing this stuff, it affects your feed, and floods of a mix of like incredibly helpful or very prescriptive or repetitive and like recommendation folks. And I think of it sometimes as like social media prosper gospel, right? Where they're like, oh, do this thing, stand on one leg, it's going to be amazing, you'll get a million followers, whatever. And, or, you know, for instance, post every day, 10 days, 30 days, what have you. And I'm telling you that that might work for some folks, but it, what I learned wasn't this massive lottery ticket kind of prosper bias. They're like, oh my gosh, I did so amazing. Now you can do so amazing because I did the thing, whatever. But I do think there is a lot of repeatability in learning and being thoughtful about posting and doing it frequently to have the benefit of many small experiments. And many small experiments can help you learn little bits of things that add up. There you go. So that's what I learned posting 200 consecutive days in a row to TikTok, and then making, you know, reuse of those things too, to a few other places. What else here? So I have, I've been dabbling with VoiceOver. That is a, I remember I worked at TJ Maxx a long time ago. I was a combo of cashier and customer service desk focus, right? And it was funny. So like people would give me announcements I'd need to share, and I, you know, handle returns and all kinds of stuff. And I would get compliments once in a while about my voice. And I was a young person, you know, and I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't know if I like the sound of my voice, and this is funny. Thanks for the compliment, whatever. And then I would play around with that too, because it was also a confidence boost, and it'd make me, I don't know, feel like performing, right? And then, of course, podcasting for a number of years, hearing that once in a while. And so, yeah, I'm curious. And what's super funny is that I've been advertised this for over a year, off and on, through different social media venues that notice my curiosity in searching because of data sharing and all that kind of stuff, and cookies and what have you, right? And so, the ads weren't wrong. I was curious and am. So. Yeah, so I started, you know, I joined a little community, and I'm just listening and learning. But in the meantime, also poking around, right? So I'm someone who definitely posts and experiments and puts things together and into the world. And I don't typically have like a let me sit back and only absorb style of learning. I learn by doing, right? And frequently I do. And so I started experimenting with, and I documented this in a few different posts to TikTok, you know, like setting up a decent place to record in my, you know, office space. Because, you know, it's one thing to get decent audio from like a music instrument. But when you have to mic something, it's different. And then like miking something for voice, for performance, that's less formal, you know, doing a Zoom meeting or, you know, Google call or whatever, that's different than, well, someone's going to put that in an animation or a video or a commercial or something, right? So I started exploring like, well, how can I manage some of the audio stuff in this space and, you know, reduce the background noise, reduce echo and slapback, and make it sound decent, right? And I've been iterating, and I'm recording this Polytechnicast in my latest iteration, like one of the iterations literally like crashed down around me when I was recording the video, as if you would think, oh, he's doing that for, you know, performance or whatever. And oddly enough, that video didn't get a lot of attention, but that wasn't planned, you know, like, I set up moving blankets and all this stuff, standing on, you know, different, you know, over the years had, you know, I've got a few different, simple portable, poles to mount stuff to, a lot of times, you know, getting into inexpensive lighting and whatever to help with, like video podcast recording and stuff. So I've got a few of them, and I mount the blankets on there and do some experiments. And I noticed that there was an increase in quality, right? Each sort of generation of this blanket fort I built. And then I thought, but I was like, oh, that blanket fort is really in the way. So I set it up so it was kind of like a collapsible blanket fort. And I was demoing it, and I moved my on camera, and I gesture when I talk, and I just bumped the wrong thing, and the whole thing just crumbled around me, kind of collapsed, and I sort of caught it anyway. Yeah, this iteration is in a closet; it's more stable, and I don't know why I didn't start here, but I guess I liked having the closet for storage. But it's but it does sound better. It drastically reduces a lot of different audio problems with like the furnace and stuff like that. It's not perfect though, but it's a start, you know. Yeah, then we'll see. And it's fun to be I guess I like learning a lot. And so jumping into this, exploring how there are, you know, a lot of venues and marketplaces, basically, right? Trying to match people who have voiceover gigs to people who want to perform, right? And there's at least six of those that I can tell, and probably more, and with different sort of emphasis, but plenty of overlap too. And the idea is, you know, you put out a profile, you have some examples of your work, and then you essentially audition to get gigs. And, you know, we'll see. But I am excited about the learning process. I'm excited about how, at least so far, it seems like a little bit different, you know, like a different character. It seems more like podcasting than it seems like making a video game or making an illustration or whatnot. Because a lot of my work is there's some analysis and prep and all that, but it's this iterative building. And then that has a different set of characteristics than essentially showing up and performing. And you can, you know, to set yourself up for success, you're going to do some extra work, right? But the nature of the extra work, the amount of the extra work, and the amount of iteration after the work, it's different, because it's kind of that, you know, building up to be ready to perform and then performing, there may be some revision or retake, but it's different than like, oh, I've made a game and, you know, there's a dozen issues with it and that are bugs and or features that just aren't there yet or things I need to do to make it better for a given platform. It's like a deeper, complicated branching path of iterative ongoing effort versus fewer branches, mostly around performing, right? It's more focused. I like that. At least that's my impression, right? I may delve into this. Like many things I have learned about over the years, making software, making games, making, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, teaching, doing creative workshops, design process, research, all that. There's typically this blissful situation of not really knowing what's below the surface of a given circumstance. And then as you enter it, as you become more permeable to this new context, then, you know, I would say for me, more humility kicks in, where I'm like, oh, this is deeper than I realized. And I have had that thought way more times than I think is probably reasonable, but I just accept that that's just part of my personality, is the eagerness to jump in, but also the discipline to discover and all that stuff. And I'm like, whoop, okay, yet again, here I am. It's deeper than I thought. And I'm open to that. It's okay. So I will be exploring that. I thought it was fun to share that's one of the things I'm up to. And would you believe it? Since I last posted a Polytechnicast, Word Turtle Island is 1.0. It is the game I was working on for 4 years straight. And it is out there in the world, 1.0. It's not like ever going to, you know, be, it's not done in the way that I'm going to make more updates. I've got ideas. I've got all kinds of plans, hopes, right? But probably a deeper topic, but essentially, you know, I put Word Turtle Island in the world. And when you have a business hypothesis, and if it, like, you can't predict the future. As much as businesses of all kinds of sizes want to reduce all the risk, you just can't, right? The world is a place of many possibilities and variables, and that's great. But it doesn't always feel great, and different cultures and groups and organizations react and work differently with that kind of ambiguity. But for me, you know, small indie dev, solo, what have you, you know, I put it in the world, and it's received a lot smaller sales than I would have hoped for. So in order to, you know, make this small business of mine work, I decided to say, okay, more updates are coming for Word Turtle Island, but I have to put those in a different priority, right? I've got another design for a game, actually co-designed with Kate Shield Stenzinger. I'm her husband, right? I mean, looking back, it was like a few months ago, and Kate drew on the whiteboard, you know, a few days maybe after the release of Word Turtle Island, saying like, well, what do you think of this? And I'm like, oh, holy crap, that's a great idea. And I can build that off of what I built already. And that's one of the things where some small, successful indie devs have made a go of, and have some not small ones. If you look back, you know, rewind to the days of like LucasArts and the SCUMM engine. I don't know if they just would call it SCUMM, but, you know, whatever. The acronym is SCUMM. And they made a lot of games with that same engine. And I thought, well, why don't I do that, right? I made a lot of capabilities over 4 years to create Word Turtle Island. You know, a variety of like things of like character leveling and item leveling and inventory of items and purchasable things and right? Not to just clone it, that's fine, right? But, you know, it turns out I'm working on this next game. This isn't, you know, here's the next topic. Lexolotl. It is a word puzzle game instead of a word action game. It's, you get to play a sort of crossword puzzle style word guessing game and see how many of these puzzles you can solve in a row. And that's the heart of it right there. And it's got this sort of, you know, cute, cozy, relaxing, playful theme of these axolotl characters that, you know, that I call lexolotls, right? And it's coming along. I've got a few testers on iOS. I'm probably releasing to Apple platforms first this time. And it will, you know, be soonish. It's surprising, you know, how much time passes fast, but I've made a lot of progress in essentially 4 months. So from 4 years to 4 months, I'll take it. You know, I'm saying this overall hypothesis of saying, well, I can take these capabilities. I can say, you know, if I were working in a large company that loved to use jargon, I would say I pivoted from Word Turtle Island into Lexolotl. Although Word Turtle Island isn't, you know, that story isn't done yet. The story of that endeavor and that product isn't done. There's more to come. But then I need to, well, develop something that brings in more funding. And that's what I'm hoping from Lexolotl. So stay tuned. And if you're curious, send me an email. Let me know. Do you love word games? Something that might be I don't know, let's see, word guessing, like a Wordle, but then, you know, crossword themed, like a New York Times crossword. You know, essentially you get three misses before your streak gets, you know, ended and you have to start over again. But then you get to try one more time, see how many more you can do in your run. Can you, you know, beat your score and all that stuff. So Lexolotl will be coming soon, and send me an email if you're curious about becoming a tester on iOS for now. But, you know, if you're on other platforms, you can let me know your interest too. Totally welcome. So, what else? I'm getting close to half an hour, and I try to keep Polytechnicast short. This is luxurious to be in, because I went from practicing, like, stopping myself, going deep, going wide, exploring, meandering, right? Following my gut so much, because it's, you know, the constraint of posting a TikTok is like, if I don't do that thing less than 3 minutes, I can't reuse it on other networks so easily, right? And yeah, so here I am getting to, you know, sort of stretch a bit and explore, and I hope you like it. What else? There, I wonder too about the Polytechnicast and where to go next, right? Like, do I dive into the, you know, the adventures of doing creative work while you're moving? Moving house, that was huge part of the last few months. And then, you know, the wildness of learning from Word Turtle Island and doing the next game and all the stuff. I miss and love the Polytechnicast. This is such a home place for me to be able to do this kind of exploring, unpacking, thinking. And I wonder if, you know, do I move this? Do I have, or, you know, do I do, you know, split the feed where it's like some of them would be in Buy Me a Coffee or this store that I've set up at Fourth Wall, right? Which is that's a wild venue. Like, it's so interesting because it's a little bit like a Patreon or, you know, KO-FI or Buy Me a Coffee, but it's also physical product stuff too, right? So interesting. And that's why I'm experimenting there. I even have, like, you know, member discounts. Like, if you become one and then you want to buy a product, it's like, yeah, of course you get a discount. You're a member. And interesting stuff. But it's one of those side experiments on top of all the rest. My main focus is Lexolotl. Coming up will be Word Turtle Island. And coming up, I want to get another cabinet or two built for bringing some arcade cabinets to events next year, right? Coming up so fast, getting to the end of the year and all that. So I get reflective. I think about reaching out, connecting, publishing, and whatnot, because this is where it's like doing this reflection is useful for me as an endeavor, and I like doing it for that, but I also like the community aspect of it. I like it when I get questions and reactions and stuff, and then, you know, noticing download numbers once in a while when I actually go look at them, and I really appreciate it. So I think I'm gonna just let my list feed another episode, right? Because I think we covered a lot today on the Polytechnicast. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for caring about journaling, right? And I hope you journal. I hope you find your own voice and path in all this. And you know, if some small way the Polytechnicast helped, that's really cool. I think it's important that we as artists embrace all of our abilities, like whatever your style is for thinking and for learning and all that. You represent something that is exactly what someone else needs to hear. It absolutely, I'm super confident of that. Like, someone needs your voice, and it's, and not to pressure you into it, but like, when you hear me say something like that, and if you're like, oh, I felt an urge, awesome, listen to that, because that means it's resonating with you. And if it's not a fit for you, then yeah, I mean, you're nourished by the listening and doing your own thing in your own way, which is awesome. So the having something on in the background while you do your drawing or writing or coding, that's fantastic, and that's enough. But no matter what the situation is, I appreciate you being here. Thank you for downloading this. Thank you very much for listening. I wish you a healthy, safe, and happy wrap up of the rest of the year and an entrance into the next year, right? The, you know, 2025, it's almost wrapped up. And I hope you've had a good holiday season, and one that works for you and doesn't, you know, that gives you more energy than it takes. And thank you so much for being here. And again, I will say that you can email me, by the way, if you want to be a tester or have some comments or questions. I am rob@shieldsstenzinger.com. Or you can, of course, comment on the post and whatnot, too. In all the cases, hope you have a great end of your year and a beginning of 2026. And thank you very much for listening.